2 Corinthians chapter 12. Paul the Apostle says, "Behold, the third time I'm ready to come to you." It's the 14th verse. "And I will not be burdensome to you, for I seek not yours, but you. For the children ought not to lay up for the parents, but the parents for the children. And I will very gladly spend and be spent for you, though the more abundantly I love you, the less I be loved. But be it so, I did not burden you. Nevertheless, being crafty, I caught you with guile. Did I make a gain of you by any of them whom I sent unto you? I desired Titus, and with him I sent a brother. Did Titus make a gain of you? Walk we not in the same spirit? Walk we not in the same steps? Again, think ye that we excuse ourselves unto you? We speak before God in Christ, but we do all things, dearly beloved, for your edifying. For I fear, lest when I come I shall not find you such as I would, and that I shall be found unto you such as you would not. Lest there be debates, envyings, wraths, strifes, backbitings, whisperings, swellings, tumults, and lest when I come again, my God will humble me among you, that I shall bewail many which have sinned already and not repented of the uncleanness and fornication and lasciviousness which they have committed. This is the third time I am coming to you. In the mouth of two or three witnesses shall every word be established. I told you before and foretell you as if I were present the second time. And being absent now, write to them which heretofore have sinned, and to all other, that if I come again, I will not spare. Since ye seek a proof of Christ speaking in me, which to you would is not weak, but is mighty in you. For though he was crucified through weakness, yet he liveth by the power of God. For we also are weak in him, but we shall live with him by the power of God toward you. Examine yourselves whether ye be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves, how that Jesus Christ is in you, except ye be reprobates? But I trust that ye shall know that we're not reprobates. And I pray to God that ye do no evil, not that we should appear approved, but that ye should do that which is honest, though we be as reprobates. For we can do nothing against the truth, but for the truth. For we are glad when we are weak and ye are strong, and this also we wish even your perfection. Therefore I write these things, being absent, lest being present I should use sharpness according to the power which the Lord hath given me to edification and not to destruction. Finally, brethren, farewell, be perfect, be of good comfort, be of one mind, live in peace, and the God of love and peace shall be with you. Greet one another with a holy kiss. All the saints salute you." Now, this is just reading a little scripture here from 2 Corinthians, where Paul tells him that if he comes again to him, he said, "I won't spare you." Said, "In one place, shall I come with the rod, or shall I come in the spirit of meekness?" He said, "I've come to you. This will be the third time that everything will be established in the mouth of two or three witnesses." He said, "But if I find you sinning this time, and I find you doing wrong this time," he said, "I'm going to have the rod." And he said, "When I come with the rod, I'm not going to spare you." And Paul was a pretty strong speaker. When he said not to spare someone, he found some fornication among them. He said, "Such fornication as should not be named." Even, "I don't even find this among the Gentiles as a whole," he said. He said, "Such a one should be turned over to the devil for the destruction of the flesh, that the spirit might be saved in the day of judgment." Or that is to say, get the rotten branch off of the tree to save the tree. Turn this member over to the devil and let Satan literally destroy him. Let him take him on out into the fire and save the church or the spirit that's in the church. Lest the whole church perish. You know, the whole body can perish from one cancer, one defective organic part or defective member. If there's no amputation or operation, then the whole body will be poisoned and perish. And Paul said, that ought not to be. And he said, "You know, if I come with the rod, I will not spare you. I will not spare you." So then he spoke pretty strong. Paul was real strong. He said, "There's some mouths that ought to be stopped. They go about subverting whole households, saying things that they ought not to say." And he says, "Here, whispers and backbiters, all of these things. And the Bible said, he that backbiteth with his tongue shall not stand in the holy hill of God. So you see that these things are very needful. He says in the 11th chapter, he said, I've really been through some things. And this is what he says. Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more in labors, more abundant in stripes, above measure in prisons, more frequent in deaths oft. Of the Jews, 5 times received I 40 stripes, save one. Thrice was I beaten with rods. Once was I stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I have been in the deep. In journeying often, in peril of waters, in peril of robbers, in peril by my own countrymen, in peril by the heathens, in peril in the day, in the city, in peril in the wilderness, in peril in the sea, in peril among false brethren, in weakness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fasting often, in cold and nakedness. Besides all these things, or those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches. Who is weak, and I am not weak? Who is offended, and I burn not? If I must needs glory, I will glory of the things which concern mine infirmities. The God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which is blessed forevermore, knoweth that I lie not. So, we see here, as I said today, and I'm not going to elaborate on these things, I said a little early to you, that we need to suffer many things for Christ's sake. And we need to equip our mind, the Bible tells us, with a mind to suffer. For if we suffer with him as to self-denial, the Bible said we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, then he'll deny us. If we confess him before man, then God will confess us in that wonderful day when we stand before the Heavenly Father. Now that's all I'm going to say tonight. Friday night, the spirit of revelation was here, and God was speaking in revelation. Some of you judged yourselves unworthy, and you didn't get the wonderful message of the deep mystery that God was bringing. So we stopped. Very unusual, but we stopped. And many of you are missing the wonderful, divine, deep mysteries of God. The Bible said, great is the mystery of godliness. For God was manifested in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, caught up in heaven. So many of you are missing the wonderful deep mysteries of God as to the revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ. You're missing that. See, it's because you're not hungering and thirsting after the things of God. You are filling yourselves with the things of the world, and you're becoming more acquainted with the things of the world, and your enthusiasm and ego and ambition is toward the monetary values of life. And like Brother Jim said to you, the Bible teaches that you cannot serve God and mammon. There's only two gods. One is money, which is called mammon, and the other is the great God of the Spirit. And if you're after a career, if you're after some great thing is to be a dignitary or celebrity in the world, are you wanting position? If you're wanting businesses, you're wanting scholarships, then Satan is your master. For the Bible said he saves the things that be of the flesh, and not the things that be of the spirit, as of God. See, so if you're going after all those things, then you're in trouble. Whereas the Bible said, seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all of those other things will be added unto you. And he says that I will give you the desires of your heart if you'll delight yourself in me. Make you to ride upon the high places of the earth. Feed you with the heritage of Jacob. Your leaves will not wither. Fruit will come forth on your tree. Whatever you do will prosper. God said, I'll do this for you. If you serve me, if you love me. But if you don't love him, you may get rich. You may get the riches of the world. But the Bible said if you get these things, you'll be cut off in the midst of your days. And in the end, you'll be a fool. Many millions of people have experienced this down through the years. They've went after the world. They've went after the riches of the world. They've went after scholarship. They obtained those things. But where are they tonight? They're laying in the grave, and the worms are eating them. The worms are feeding off of them. Where are those great men and great people? Where are the great offices that they held? like all of the generations of the earth, they perish. But folks, he that doeth the will of God, the Bible said he abideth forever. He's eternal. He's got eternal life. He'll have an eternal body forever. He'll keep this body eternally. But those that are of the world will perish, as the Bible said in the gainsaying of Korah. They'll perish with the world, for the world and all therein shall utterly be burned up. So, even before death comes, by burning as to the judgment, people die and go into the grave. They perish. Their years are gone, and they find themselves in an early grave. And all that they have, Solomon said, is left to a fool. Is left to a fool. So all of you that are training for the future, and all of you that are planning for the future, and all of you that are looking for great things, and all these things as to the world of houses and land and homes and the gullible desires as to monetary values, all these things as to polished ethics, as to scholarship, you're headed for the grave. And the worms will eat you. But you that do the will of God, that are born again, you can have eternal life and live forever. I want you to stand with me. We want to say again, we're glad to have you here tonight. Glad to have Brother Randall here. He was talking a little bit ago, and he was sitting there right before me, and I just didn't register. Brother Randall's come over from Mississippi, and he's visiting here with us. It's always wonderful to have our brother to come and visit with us. I believe Brother Randall loves the Lord. Wouldn't you like to be a Christian? Sister Dale sang the song. I'd rather be in the Christian Hall of Fame. Be a son of God. I'd rather be a Christian. An old-time Christian, we sing the song, than anything that I know. Walking in the grand old highways and telling everywhere I go, I'd rather be an old-time Christian than anything that I know. Where will you be a million years from now? Will you be happy? Will you be safe? Ages roll. I ask this question, where will you be? Just one life to live on earth, and will it pass by from the moment of our birth until it's time to die? God has given us this choice to decide our destiny in a million years. Where will you be? Sing that with me now. Where will you be? Will you be happy? Will you be singing while ages roll throughout eternity? I ask this question, while we sing these little courses, the altars are open tonight. If you'd like to come and renew your covenant with the Lord, you can do that. We're going to sing that song, Dale, Jesus Use Me. Can we sing that? I know that at night some of you are kind of tired and weary. And I understand that. Sometimes you have a long day. And at the end of the day, it seems like you're kind of tired and weary no matter whether you do anything or not. Especially some of you that have to work, you know, you work long hours. And I understand that. But you know, I don't know why it is, but it seems like that God gives me an unusual strength, an unusual endurement, whether it's through the night to pray or preach or travel or whatever. And folks, I have all kinds of problems just like everybody else. Someone said, well, you don't know, Brother Pike. Well, I might. I might know a whole lot more about things than you think I do when it comes to those kind of things. But nevertheless, He gives me a great supernatural endurance. And my ego for God and my determination for God gives me a drive that somehow it overcomes all of feelings and whatever it might be. Faith is great and mighty. It's so wonderful to be a Christian. That's why I love to praise the Lord, worship the Lord with you. Come together and enjoy these wonderful things of God. Don't you want Jesus to use it? While we sing together, Jesus, use me, and oh Lord, don't refuse me. There's a work that I can do, and even though it's humble, Lord, help my will to crumble. For though the cross be great, I'll work for you. Sing it with me now. Jesus, use me. No, Lord, don't refuse me. Surely there's a work that I can do, and even though it's humble, Lord, help my will to crumble. For though the cross be great, I'll work for you. Don't you want Jesus to use you? We sing this little chorus, Wasted Years. Can we sing that, Sister Dale? A lot of people have wasted their life, wasted years. And I sometimes hear, when we're singing together, the organ flows together, the voices flow together, and Sister Dale just rolls over to another chord, or Brother Taylor, whoever's playing the organ, you know, just go right on. And sometime, the Lord would have us to stop from time to time when we go to change verses. Today seems to have been one of those times. But let's sing that song, can we? Wasted years, oh how foolish, as you stumble along, sin and shame, turn around, God is calling, He's calling you from a life of wasted years. Wasted years, wasted years, oh how foolish, as you stumble along in sin and shame. Turn around, oh God is calling. He's calling you from a life of wasted years. Let's lift our hands up and close our eyes as we worship the Lord. You know, there has been, from the early morning, a great hindrance. And usually when there's a great hindrance, it's because God is wanting to do something and He's trying to reach souls. And there's been a great hindrance. See, the preacher can get the least bit carnal-minded and it'll hinder. The musicians can get the least bit carnal-minded and they're not anointed to flow with the trend of the singing. Or people can get the least bit carnal-minded, and the Bible said the carnal mind is at enmity with God, and the anointing can't flow, and the gifts can't work, and the mind of God as to the deep mysteries can't speak. See, when we are carnal, then are we the enemy of God. When we sit in the seat of the scornful or stand in the way of sinners, then we can't have the blessings of God. We can't have that eternal life. We can't have God watching over us to keep us back from presumptuous sins and self-willed doings that brings the wrath of God as to wrecks, as to diseases, as to heartaches, as to sorrows. All of these miseries come upon us because we don't serve the Lord God with gladness and cheerfulness of heart. Seeing it so that when we come together, we should enter the gates with thanksgiving. You should have a heart of thanksgiving the whole time that you're in the services of God. The Bible says that you ought to know how to behave yourself in the house of God, which is the ground and pillar of the truth. And you should come in with great faith, great enthusiasm, and hungering and thirsting after the things of God, that you might be filled and be enriched with these great, wonderful things that God has for you. See, so we exhort you from time to time, and we bring you these little messages and things. But you know, like tonight, I know there's at least a number of people here tonight that really want to surrender their heart to God in a great way. But it takes the convicting spirit of God, and it takes your faith that when one suffer, they all suffer. One rejoice, they all rejoice. You come in with thanksgiving and rejoicing. Then you bring the floods of joy down upon the congregation. I noticed tonight when the Floyds were singing, they were so jubilant. So jubilant. Sometimes different singers get up to sing and they're not too jubilant. Then you say, well, why was they so jubilant tonight? Well, I found out they've been fasting for several days, seeking the Lord. See, and it breaks the yoke and it moves away that old doubtful, skeptical mind. And they're believing and they're praying and they're worshiping the Lord and they feel good. Because when you get a clear conscience, then faith comes. And when faith comes, it clears the atmosphere of all the powers of opposition. And your hearts rejoice in the Lord. How wonderful it is to love the Lord. To love the Lord with all of our heart, with all of our mind, with all of our soul, with all of our strength. We should be jealous over our thoughts to the extent that we don't want the devil to get one of our thoughts, not one of our thoughts. Even down to the intents of our heart and the reflex of our mind, that we would be perfectly Him in the earth as the light shines forth through us, that others may see our good works and our hunger and our thirst for God. What is it in the world that you want? What is it in the world that lasts? What is it in the world that's any good? What is there out there? If you had all the wealth like Solomon of old did, he had everything that heart could wish for. And all it did was vex him. He said, it's vanity, it's vexation of spirit. Said, by wisdom, I've gotten all these things and I know I've got to die. And then I'll leave it all to a fool. I've labored for this and this is mine. Now leave it all to a fool and they'll squander it. And sure enough, he did. He left us as a foolish people. See, so why do you labor for that that does not satisfy? Why not follow God and He'll add all these other things unto you? You won't be liking for any good thing. He'll give you the desires of your heart. And then you don't have to run after the world and lose your soul for it. Why do I want to follow after something in the world? Everything in the world belongs to me. It was created for me. All things are mine. But I belong to the Lord. I say this so often. Someone would say, well, how can it be yours when it belongs to somebody else? But I'm going to outlive all of them. I'm going to live on and on and on and on. I'll live out all of them or outlive all of them, and then they'll lose every bit of it and it'll be mine. Somebody say, I love you, Lord. Are you planning to outlive anybody? If I outlive them, I'm going to own it, because the man that outlives them is the one that owns it. and I'm going to live and live forever. Let's sing that chorus, Sister Dale. I'll live on and on. On to eternity, I'll live on. I'll live on and on. On and through eternity, I'll live on. When the world's on fire, I'll live on. When the world's on fire, I'll live on. I'll live on and on. I'll live on and on. Through eternity, I'll live on. One more time. Moon turns to blood, I'll live on. When the moon turns into blood, I'll live on. I'll live on and on. I'll live on and on. Through eternity, I'll live on. We're bringing in the sheaves. We're bringing in. We shall come rejoicing, bringing in the sheaves. Sing your words. We're bringing in the sheaves, bringing in the sheaves. We shall come rejoicing, bringing in the sheaves. Oh, we're bringing in the sheaves, bringing in the sheaves. We shall come rejoicing, bringing in the sheaves, bringing in the sheaves, bringing in the sheaves. And we shall come rejoicing, bringing in the sheaves. We're bringing in the sheaves, bringing in the sheaves. We shall come rejoicing, bringing in the sheaves. We're bringing in the sheaves, bringing in the sheaves. And we shall come rejoicing, bringing in the sheaves. We're bringing in the sheaves, bringing in the sheaves. We shall come rejoicing, bringing in the sheaves, bringing in the sheaves. Bringing in the sheaves, and we shall come rejoicing, bringing in the sheaves. Can you see? Praise the Lord. Glasses keep sliding up and down on my nose. Most of the time when I'm preaching, I always just take them off. But we're bringing in the sheaves. We shall come rejoicing, bringing in the sheaves. Isn't that wonderful? To labor in the fields of God. Pray that God will send forth laborers into his vineyard. I still feel that tonight, that I always feel when something is wrong. I always feel that. And this morning services went off pretty good, but things wasn't right. There was a hindrance. You ever had a splinter in your finger? One member suffer, they all suffer. See, you just can't have any rest in your body with a splinter in the finger. Isn't that right? Stick a nail in your foot. See, you've got to get that splinter out. But nail's going to come out and you've got to do something to it. And tonight, there's somebody here, as we say, with a splinter in the finger. There's something wrong with you tonight, that you're not coming to the Lord and you're not yielding to the Lord. So no joke about it, no make-believe about it, no guessing about it. You're positively here, and that's what's causing the problem. And what you're trying to do is blend in with the service. And you're not born again. And you know that you're not born again. And you know that unless God gets a hold of your heart, you're going back out into the same old things of the world. And someone will say, well, what does that mean, Brother Pike? That can mean your death. That can mean heartaches. That can mean sorrow. Did you know that you shorten your days by your disobedience? And did you know that all the time that you're doing these things wrong, there's something working on you? It may be cancer. It may be heart trouble. But whatever it is, the devil's preparing a trap, or he's working on you and your body or doing something, and he's going to kill you down the road. He's going to imprison you, put you in a cage like an animal. He's going to do something to you. A lot of you are already in spiritual prisons and can't get out. But folks, you're here tonight, and that's what the hindrance is. See, you're not yielding your heart to God. You're making believe, and that's hypocrisy. That's one of the worst things that you could ever do. Jesus said, I would that you were hot or cold. Because you're lukewarm, I'll spew you out of my mouth. All of my tables are filled with vomit, he said. Lukewarmness, where I've spewed people out of my mouth. And you're here tonight, and you don't want to do that. You don't want to do that. The Bible said, after that you've come to the knowledge of the truth, and you reject it, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sin, but only the fearful looking forward to of the fiery indignation of God that shall devour his adversaries. He considers you his adversaries. And he says, this fiery indignation of God, I'll pursue you till you perish from off the face of the earth. For I am angry with the wicked every day. If they pray, it's hypocrisy. He said, their prayers are abomination in my sight. I hear people say, well, Brother Pike, I pray, bless God, I don't live right, but God hears my prayers. I hate to disappoint you, but you're wrong. Oh, I know he hears them. I can't help what you say. The scriptures can't be broken. The Bible says that God heareth not a sinner's prayer. He don't hear it. Did you know if it wasn't for the righteous praying for you that you wouldn't even have a chance to come to God? The Bible says concerning you that love the Lord that you are a royal priesthood and that you're making intercession, standing in Christ's behalf, pleading with God that God should grant repentance to them that are without. And did you know God commanded you and I, saying that we should pray that God would grant repentance to them that are without? The church, a lot of times people say, well, I don't have anything to do, Brother Pike. The Bible teaches that you are a royal priesthood standing in Christ's stead while he's absent in his body, and that you're to make intercession as the body of the Lord Jesus, that God would grant repentance to them people out there. And the Bible said concerning the minister, lay in the altars all night long and howl for my people, for all these horrible things that's coming upon them. Pray for the king. Pray for the presidents and leaders of this world, the writer said. Make intercession that God would prepare their heart to know what to do. Pray for them that are in power and authority. So see, beloved friend, he's watching you. I know the rain's on the just and the unjust, and I know it's coming down on you. I realize that, but it doesn't make any difference. That's just the grace of God while the blood is on the seat of atonement. And someday it's coming off. And when it comes off, you'll be turned into the lake of fire. And the Bible said, pray always that you may be accounted worthy to escape those things that's coming on the earth. Speaking of the tribulation period, for the Bible said they'll gnaw their tongues with pain. They'll curse God. And the heat will be so severe, it will scorch them and scorch the earth. And there'll be no healing medicines, no relief from the pain. And we're nearing that day right now. So then, believe in God. Let God deliver you. Yield your heart to the Lord. Be sincere with God. Call on the name of Jesus. It shall come to pass that whosoever calleth upon the name of the Lord Jesus shall be saved. And the Lord said, Paul, be baptized. Wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord Jesus. So then tonight, call on the name of the Lord Jesus. Call out of a pure heart. While we sing another chorus or two, I would ordinarily dismiss, but tonight I haven't even preached to you. Harry said very little tonight, and you're here. You need God. I know we're down at the altar. I know that, But there's something wrong. And it seems like God always lets me know that. And a lot of times He'll let me know what it is, where it's at, or who it is. Someone would say, well, why don't you pray tonight and get God to do that? I would, if it was necessary, but I already know who it is, and I know what it is. We're going to sing together again, and we're going to give you a chance to surrender your heart to God. Really give your heart to God. You know, you can blend in with things and do what you want to, and it looks good in the sight of men. It makes you feel good because the rain comes down on the unjust. But folks, that don't mean you're born again. Even shedding tears, you don't even get it that way. These gifts are not given through repentance, but the Bible said they're by foreknowledge. The gifts and the callings of God, whether it's eternal life or whatever, are given to you as elect through foreknowledge. And if you are elect, you will cry. You will yield your heart. You will call on the Lord. And you'll get His Spirit. And then you'll walk in His way. But as to the rain coming on you, you may cry. Esau sought repentance with bitter tears, but he didn't find it. The birthright was already gone. Judas repented, throwed the silver down. But he went out and hanged himself because his hope was already gone. When you come to the knowledge of the truth, once you know the truth and turn away from it, God is not obligated to you anymore. The grace, as to the blood on the seat of atonement, is for one purpose. That's to give the unjust an atmosphere. That this atmosphere may be created by the love of God and the children of God. And that they might reflect this to the extent that they can be free from that old carnality and that satanic force long enough to make a decision for Christ. And if they are elect, they will do it. Paul preached, the Bible said, as many as were ordained unto eternal life believed, and the rest did not. And he shook his raiment and went his way. Remember, if you're not an elect, that means you are a beast. You are a beast. It doesn't matter if you look like a man or a woman, you're a beast. But if you're elect, then are you a God? I brought that out this morning. Then are you God's, and you pass from death unto life and cannot sin and have been sealed by the great Holy Spirit. He that is born of God cannot sin, for God's seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin because he's born of God. And I'm not going to go into those things we mentioned this morning, but remember, Messiah came, made an end of sin, and brought in everlasting righteousness. When that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part is done away with. And when he came, he was the perfect one. And he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified, bringing that which is perfect. And he hath folded up the law of sin and death, having fulfilled every jot and tittle. Shall not pass away till every jot and tittle has been fulfilled. And he fulfilled every jot and tittle at Calvary. And then he folded it up, and he laid it away. So then, this is what God is wanting. All right, you understand what I'm saying? Every jot and every tittle of the law, it's been folded up and laid it away. But the Bible said they that have fallen from grace, they're under the law. If you've fallen from grace, then you're still under the law. But folks, when you're born again, the wonderful seed of God, even the Lord Jesus Christ, the hope of glory, as I say, the only hope of glory, in that he alone was made heir to that glory. He is the hope of that glory that he experienced on the Mount of Transfiguration as he stood in glory with Moses and Elijah. He's in your heart to never leave you. Never leave you. And the Bible said you pass from death unto life. So tonight, we're going to sing another little chorus. And while we sing this little chorus, then I want you to just gather around the altar here. You that want to find God, I want you to step right out there in the front of me and let me pray for you. While I sing this little chorus together. Standing somewhere in the shadows, you'll find Jesus. He's the only one standing somewhere in the shadows, you will find him, and you'll know him by the nail prints in his hand. So come home, come home, stop time. The shadows all lengthening fast. Come home. Getting late. Shadows are falling. Did you know before I gave the altar call, the yoke broke? I felt it broke. You know why it broke? A certain person yielded their spirit before they ever came to the altar. They're at the altar now. But before they ever came to the altar, I felt it like it stuck fire to the candle, and their spirit broke and they yielded it up. Not as to Roger. I appreciate Roger coming up here, but he wasn't the one. He came out of the sincerity of his heart. You know, as to feel that he was the one. And I appreciate that kind of attitude, but it had nothing to do with him at all in that way. See, but the one, when it broke just before altar call. And I thought, God, there it's gone. Everything's flowing now. Everything's flowing. And sure enough, the individual turned, came to the altar. You love the Lord? When I was but a boy in days of childhood, I used to play till evening shadows come. Then winding down an old familiar pathway, I could hear my mother call at set of sun. Come home, come home, at supper time. The shadow come home, come home, it's supper time, we're going home at last. Are you ready for the bridegroom to come? Are you ready for the bridegroom to come? Be it morning, noon, or night, we're all dressed as fatherless white, and we're ready for the bridegroom to come. Are you ready for the bridegroom to come? Are you ready for the bridegroom to come? Be it morning, noon, or night, we're all dressed as fatherless white, and we're ready for the bridegroom to come. One more time. Oh, I'm ready for the bridegroom to come. Oh, I'm ready for the bridegroom to come. Be it morning or night, I'm all dressed in spotless white, and I'm ready for the bridegroom. Oh, we're ready for the bridegroom to come. Oh, we're ready for the bridegroom to come. Be it morning, noon, or night, I'm all dressed in fatherless white, and I'm ready for the bridegroom to come. You love the Lord? Let's sing this song. Come a little closer, just a little closer, oh, come a little closer to the Lord. Your heavy load will lighten, and your days will brighten when you come a little closer to the Lord. Can you sing it? Come a little closer, just a little closer, oh, come a little closer to my Lord. Your heavy load will lighten, and your days will brighten when you come a little closer to the Lord. I remember, brother, when I was like you, traveling down a road of sin, trouble in my soul, looking for a place again. But an old time preacher came a calling one day from the good book, read a few words. Now I can say there's nothing in my way. I came a little closer to the Lord. So I came a little closer, just a little closer, and I came a little closer to the Lord. My heavy load and my days were bright when I came a little closer to the Lord. So I came a little closer, just a little closer, and I came a little closer to the Lord. My heavy load and my days were bright when I came a little closer to the Lord. And if you'll move over just a little bit, I'll lend you a helping hand. Though the road seems rough and hard, but together we can stand. I know just what you've been going through. I've been down that same old road. You'll move over just a little bit, I'll help you carry your load. And if I help you carry your load, then you won't have to stop. Lift up your eyes and look ahead, cause there's the mountain top. And when you reach down the top, you'll be so glad you tried. Together we will praise the Lord and shout down the other side. So if you'll move over just a little bit, can you give him a wave offering? Although the road seems rough and long, but together we can. I know just what you've been going through. I've been down that same old road. You'll move over just a little bit. Sing it with me now. And if I help you carry your load, then you won't have to stop. Lift up your eyes and look ahead, cause there's the mountaintop. And when we stand upon the hill, you'll be so glad you tried. And together we will praise the Lord and shout down the other side. Sing it now. You'll move over just a little bit, I'll lend you that helping hand. Although that way seems rough and long, but together we can stand. I know just what you've been going through. I've been down that same old road. You'll move over just a little bit, I'll help you carry your load. Somebody say hallelujah. Let's lift our hands up and close our eyes. Now tonight, I feel the yoke broken. And I feel that you really got sincere in your heart and you came down to the altar. Now, let's take the next step for God and yield our heart to the Lord. Call on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ to believe and be saved. Don't you want to be saved from the lake of fire? And don't you want to be saved from death? And don't you want God to guide you and help you through this reckless, wild world of confusion? To have God to call upon when you're sick, to have God to call upon and to watch over you when you're traveling, and when your little ones come along as to your little children. Having God to watch over your children, over your parents, your loved ones. Isn't that what you want? He's the only help. Things are getting worse all the time, and the day's getting darker all the time. And now, beloved friend, is the time to call on the Lord. The Bible said, call upon Him while He is near. Call upon Him while He may be found. We love you tonight. We pray for you all the time. Brother Pike prays for you. I call upon the name of the Lord day and night for you. Many of you are my spiritual children. Many of you that hear these tapes, that see these films that go out around the different parts of the world, you're my spiritual children. And I call upon the Lord for you. And a lot of you that have been astray out there, I've called on the name of the Lord because I felt that you belonged to Christ. And many have come in since I've been calling on the name of the Lord. Numbers of young fellas, young boys, and young girls. Numbers of elderly people have come in. Like the woman that said the other day over in Pennsylvania, she said, I saw this program on TV and God made me to know I was to support it. And folks, the truth will make you free. He'll bring you healing, as Brother Harry said tonight. The word of the Lord. He sent His word and healed them. He sent His word and healed them. Won't it be wonderful when we're all standing there in heaven and we hear the beautiful harps ringing out the praises of God, that melody drifting across the hillsides of glory? How do you know that we're standing in those heavenly places tonight? How do you know that two or three being here, Jesus Christ is visiting at Little Bethlehem with us tonight? He's here tonight. Two or three come in my name, there am I in the midst of them. How many can feel that sweet, wonderful feeling that I spoke of the other night when I was in the vision and that wonderful heavenly presence of God came down? That rapturing feeling, that wonderful rapturing feeling. Can you yield up your soul? Can you yield up your heart? Can you trust Him with all of your mind, all of your soul? Will you call on the name of the Lord Jesus tonight? Will you do that? How sweet. How sweet. How wonderful. For His blood hath washed away every stain. Sing it with me now. And I will praise Him. I will praise Him. Praise the Lamb for sinners slain. Let us give Him glory, all ye people. For His blood has washed away. Can you close your eyes and lift your hands and sing with me? And we will praise Him. We will praise Him. Praise the Lamb for sinners slain. Let us give Him glory. washed away your stain. While you've got your hands up, your eyes closed, I want to say again, we appreciate you being here with us. And I trust you've let God talk to your heart. If you've never made that great commitment, make that commitment. Paul said, I'm persuaded to believe that God is able to keep that which I've committed to Him against that great day. Appreciate Brother Harry and the family being here. And by the way, Sister Betty's always made, she's already made arrangements for you folks to stay at the motel. She's already got your motel room ready and to where you can be comfortable. I'd just like to say in closing out tonight, if you've not made that commitment, I'm going to say this that you can repeat after me. You know, we get saved by calling on the name of Jesus, but some people don't really understand too much of how to call on the name of Jesus. And we try to help them to understand. You have to call on God out of a pure heart. Call on the Lord while the anointing is here, while the atmosphere is here. Then let's close our eyes, lift our hands, and let's call on Him. And tonight, if you've never called on the name of the Lord, I want you to repeat after me. And there's numbers of you here that you love the Lord, but it wouldn't hurt you to repeat after me. You know, as an example to them that are calling on the name of the Lord Jesus. Let's lift our hands. The Bible said, let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Do you have breath in you tonight? You're alive. Can you lift those hands and call on the name of Jesus Christ? Will you do that? Will you lift those hands and call on the name of Jesus? You know what happens when you lift your hands? When you lift your hands, it reminds God of Calvary. Jesus said, a mother may forsake her suckling babe, but I'll never leave you nor forsake you. I've engraved you in the palms of my hands that I might not forget you. With a nail print, He puts you in the palms of His hands so He'd always have a remembrance of you. So tonight, while God is giving eternal life, while He's looking for His sons and His daughters, He's searching your life tonight, searching your heart tonight. Now is that sovereignty that He foresaw before the world ever was, and He saw your decision tonight. He saw whether you would or wouldn't. He saw as to what you'll decide while this atmosphere is here. And He saw what you will go away as to what you'll be when death comes to claim your soul. He saw it. He has it all wrote down. And tonight, your sovereignty and whatever you do tonight is what He foresaw before the foundation of the world. And that is the determining factor. With God, it's finished. He foresaw. He knows. But you're still living today. And you still have to live your tomorrow. And you still have to live your next years. So it's still your sovereignty. But with Him, He foresaw whether you will harden the heart or whether you will surrender the heart or whether you will call on the name of Jesus, whether you will love Him with all of your mind, with all of your soul, or whether you will choose the world and put Christ out of your life. He's looking at you right now. I feel the wonderful Holy Ghost. I feel the wonderful presence of God. Do you feel Him? He's here. The yoke is broken. Wherever there's the Spirit and the anointing, it breaks the yoke. And wherever the Spirit of God is, there's liberty. If you was just a little spiritual tonight, He'd move in the gifts tonight. He wanted to move in the gifts the other night, and you wouldn't let Him. You know, you've got it all mapped out in your mind the way it's supposed to be. And like the writer said, a program that's so well planned, you've left out His part as to the moving of the Spirit. Would you repeat with me? Father in heaven, we come to Thee tonight in the lovely name of Your darling Son, Jesus Christ. With great reverence and respect, Heavenly Father, standing in Your courts tonight with thanksgiving, and calling upon the name of the Lord Jesus. For You said, Lord, in your word that it would come to pass that whosoever calleth upon the name of the Lord should be saved. And we know that your word can't be altered or changed. It's the same to every generation. In our generation, Heavenly Father, we're calling on the name of the Lord. Forgive us our sins, Heavenly Father. Take away our iniquity and shame. Come into our hearts, Heavenly Father, and fill us with your presence and with your spirit. I make the commitment tonight, Lord. I yield my spirit into your hands that I may have the mind of Christ, the life of Christ, and henceforth and forever, that it might be you living and not me, Lord. That I might live this life by Jesus Christ. To let me grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord, Heavenly Father. I want to please Thee with all of my heart. I believe by this, Heavenly Father, that you kept your word, and I've called on your name, and thou hast saved my soul, having given me eternal life. For I call upon your name for salvation this night. Do you believe he heard you? Do you really believe Jesus heard you? I believe he kept his word. Don't you believe he kept his word? I believe he kept his word. I believe he done exactly what he said. No changes, no alterations. I will hasten to perform my word, and my word shall accomplish that I please and prosper in that whereunto I've sent it, and it shall not return unto me void. You love him? Let's sing this chorus, Sister Dale. Come into my heart. Come into my heart. Just come into my heart, Lord Jesus. Just come in. Today and come in to stay, come in to my heart, Lord Jesus. One more time together. Come in
to my heart.
Come in. Lord Jesus, just come in today and come in to stay. Come in to my heart, Lord Jesus. While you got your hands up and your eyes are closed, I'm going to ask Brother Scott to come as we sing this last chorus. Brother Scott from Colorado and his wife. Brother is now part of our family, and it's a real pleasure to have them here with us. He's in the field of electronics. He's been a real blessing and help to us. I really appreciate him from the bottom of my heart. I welcome everyone to come to Little Bethlehem, the home of the soul, that you might be a part of the wonderful works of God and that you might help us to hurl this gospel around the world, to go into all the world to preach the gospel to every creature. That is to say, for world evangelism, that's what we're here for. This is your home church, but it's also a launching pad for the gospel to go around the world. Have you given your body to God to be holy in body and spirit, that the wonderful grace of God and the power of God can be utilized through your body as a whatever measure you receive? Are you growing in the grace and knowledge? Are you strengthening your faith to be as Abraham, a friend to God, and to grow strong in faith? Have you? As we sing this little chorus together, gone, the stone is rolled back, gone, the tomb is empty, gone, to sit at my Father's side. Oh, he's gone over death, triumph, gone, sin is defeated, gone, and he lives forevermore.
Sing it with me now.
For he's gone, and the stone rolled back, gone, and the tomb. At my Father's side, for he's gone over death triumphant, gone, sin is defeated, and he lives forevermore.
We're going to sing this little chorus, and time shall be no more. Sing this as Scott comes.
And time shall be no more, no more. And time shall be no more. For the angel, he'll stand on the sea and the land. And time shall be no more.
Sing it again now.
And time.
Remember, I say this over and over to you, Calvary, in the fullness of time, God sent forth his Son, made under the law, made of a woman, to redeem them that were under the law. And Revelation 10:7 said he lifted his hands to heaven. Swear about him that liveth forever and ever, the time should be no more. And Jesus, as he lifted his hand to God, he said, it is finished. And in the fullness of time, he said, it is finished.
Time.
Remember, you passed from death unto life. The veil has been rent in twain. At death, the Spirit goeth back to God as gave it. To reckon yourselves to be in dead indeed unto sin by the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, in that he was delivered for your offenses, and alive by the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, in that he was raised for your justification. Pass from death unto life. No more creatures of time, but you're eternal. You have eternal life, and you're waiting for the change of this body. Not that it hasn't been purchased. It's the purchased possession, and you already have the Spirit within you as the earnestness of your inheritance. But you're waiting to wit the redemption of this body, to recognize, to come to know, to learn that he paid the price, that it's already holy and bodily and pure by the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, that you're bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh, even the God body. and that he's taken away your sins, and you're in him. Death hath no more power. Sing it with me now. And shall be no more, no more, and time shall be no more. For the angel hill on the sea and the land, and time shall be. We're going to sing it like this now. And death shall be no more, no more, and death shall be. Remember, death is the enemy of God. That's the enemy of God. For the angel, he stands on the sea and the land, and death.